Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about consciousness because, well, it's your and my life. If you're listening right now, you have consciousness. We're going to talk about the science behind it, what's going on in your brain, and this new interesting theory of how it actually works. Also, do animals have it?
Does Ernie have it?
He's got it. More on that later, because it's like he can't recognize himself in a mirror, which is what some people
certainly can recognize a treat.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the word treat, actually, I'm worried he's going to come running.
Yeah, where is he?
But do you know the dogs can't recognize themselves in the mirror? The amount of times I lift him up and force his face into the mirror, and I'm like, how are you not processing that as a dog?
Oh, true.
They don't. That's part of this.
Well, let's talk about research. That later then.
Later.
Made me realize a thing of research I saw that I'll bring up in the consciousness section. Cool. But I like, kind of have to like randomly find it.
So how was your week? Mitch thinks he might have long COVID.
Oh my God. Expose me to everyone. No, I just am feeling tired today.
That's the worst part about getting.
I keep, like, you know, these things keep popping up in my feed, all these articles and Twitter threads about long COVID, and I'm like, I am still tired.
Someone Googled long COVID once.
No, I didn't. There was, like, some athlete girl who's been, like, talking about it. She's like, I've officially passed into the length of time that is recognized as long COVID. I was, like, Olympic athlete or like some kind of like marathon runner, and here's the symptoms I'm having, and they won't go away. And so now it just obviously spooked me. And well, she said she felt better, and then 3 weeks later,
no. Okay, I thought I had it yesterday because I was like hungover. But upcoming video on long COVID coming and upcoming podcast because we're just doing the research. It's tough. It's the worst part of getting COVID is now every day, like every time I'm tired, I'm like, this is it.
Yeah, I know. I guess that's right, and I still do have.
Oh my God, what was that?
Phlegm in my throat.
Ew.
No, I do feel so much better. Like, I have energy. I'm still a tiny bit congested, which is crazy, though, because it's been like over 2 weeks.
Yeah, could linger.
But otherwise, I feel optimistic.
Yeah,
and
we for the people who were listening last week, we grinded this weekend.
Oh my God. I know Greg even posted it on our Instagram on Science.
It was on the story, so you've missed it by now. But yeah, we grinded in the club, as they say.
That's what kind of boyfriend I am. When I find out what my boyfriend needs, I supply.
It was not Usher. It was Touch by Little Mix.
Yeah. So. Wait, how does that go again?
Just a touch of your love is enough.
Yeah, but that's like very my speed of grinding.
It worked though. There's the right and the left.
Because like
the right
at the least, left. Also it's kind of like fun and doesn't have to take itself seriously. There's something about grinding to me, as we've talked about, that makes me feel too serious.
Yeah, I wanted to be serious. I wanted to be the Christina Aguilera Dirty music video, but to a serious song that's actually about like lovemaking.
Anyway, so if you happen to catch our Instagram, you saw a little behind the scenes of our
Yeah, it was a
grinding.
Big deal. I'm really glad. I was like, we should grind. Sometimes you just have to ask someone if they want to grind.
Well, I had a couple drinks, so that didn't hurt.
And a puff on the marijuana vape pen.
Oh, that is sick. I don't never want to do that again. Like,
it's so just intense.
Was so shocking. Yeah, and I was like, I did not mean to do that.
So I've never really done
like,
these.
Surely this is cancer causing.
Yeah, I know. They're like, this one's going to smell like, you know, like frozen raspberries.
Yeah,
it's like, that's
yeah,
gonna kill
and
me.
Melting plastic.
Yeah, like there's
smells like both.
I don't want it to be flavored, hun. That's not what I want in my lungs. But I definitely, once this runs out of oil, I need to never buy them again.
Don't.
They are,
yeah.
They hurt.
I did see a little study that said when you're sleep deprived, you're more likely to turn to weed and alcohol.
Oh.
Yeah, like getting a bad night of sleep. It was like a random study that almost covered this week.
Really, we also saw the movie The Northman, and sadly both LOL'd and it wasn't
bad.
That good.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I feel
bad.
Like, if you love it, I'm sorry. Best part was Bjork, obviously. She was in it for 1 minute.
That movie is also like really up my alley. Like, in
I was
terms
so
of,
surprised you were bored.
Because it's like,
it was Lord
A,
of the Rings.
I love Lord of the Rings. B, loved Game of Thrones till we all know what happened. But I love the medieval genre with a mix of like artistic flair is what this was pitched to me as, with Bjork in it. I was like, I'm gonna absolutely love this movie.
Very surprised you didn't like it. I was like, I'm not liking this, but Mitch has gotta be loving this because it reminded me of Lord of the Rings.
First
one
of all,
dimensional characters that aren't
for
well
the first
developed.
Half an hour, I was like, give me a scene in the daylight, please. I can't see anything. It was so dark.
Oh.
And so boring. But, you know, I don't want to criticize art too hard. Like, they tried something, but it just didn't have a purpose.
It got amazing reviews. They were
no,
like,
it didn't.
Well, I was reading
like
a
critical
5-star
reviews.
Review in The Guardian, and they were just like, it's a simple, it's like, it was like Shakespearean, it's like a simple movie, and they just made it right and well. And I was like, okay.
You read that after we saw it?
Yeah.
I saw, like, on Rotten Tomatoes, the fan reviews are, like, not that great. Like, it has a 60-something percent.
The director's other movies, The Lighthouse and The Witch, are incredible. In my opinion, this one was not it. But it was really fun to kind of watch a really audacious movie that I thought was really bad. Because I was kind of like, this is intense. Mm-hmm. It's not working. And there's one point where Nicole Kidman shoos ravens, and it's hilarious. She's like, shoo, 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 shoo. And it was like, we laughed. And I was like, I'm pretty sure we're not supposed to laugh.
Yeah, it was like tone setting. What else is going on in the world? Anything?
And we also don't like the Harry Styles album. So this is a really bad...
Greg said we'd get canceled by
saying
that.
Yeah, or it's like, we just need to... We should start saying things we like, because people don't like hearing about when you don't like things.
Yeah, that's boring. I loved the season of Survivor, and it's coming to an end tomorrow, which is exciting.
Yes,
we're recording this podcast
exciting.
To last minute, if you couldn't tell.
Mitch, guys, hot take, Mitch liked Survivor.
No, but this
does.
Was an exceptionally good, fun season.
New Drag Race, so good.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was incredibly entertaining.
And
we like those things.
Spring, amazing.
Spring is so good. The flowers gorgeous. The birds. I saw a cedar waxwing yesterday. I've been looking for them for 2 years. They're so freaking gorgeous. No,
okay,
it's not that good. Harry Styles album.
No,
sorry.
No more okay, good things. Yeah. You know, I'm reading a book called The Inheritance Trilogy. I'm on the third one. I really liked it.
Yeah,
that's
we
another
love
good thing.
Science fiction. We don't love mediocre music.
I can't tell if it's science or I think it's fantasy.
Sorry, fantasy.
What's, yeah, but like, what is the difference?
Oh, fantasy's one is more based mystical. In reality.
Science fiction is meant to be like plausible.
Yeah,
right?
They're like, there's a dragon in fantasy, whereas they're like,
there's
we're
a
on
robot
Mars,
dragon.
And maybe this like this robot dragon that could be made
okay,
is made.
This book is fantasy. N.K. Jemisin, amazing, worth checking out if you want like a little fantasy.
And
tale.
Let us know what you might. Particularly like about the random horn sections in a Harry Styles song. Okay, moving on.
My last request is any book recommendations, both science and nonfiction. Like, I'm definitely looking for new books. I haven't had a good book in a while, other than this series that I'm reading. And I'm just after that, like, I don't know what to read. So, any suggestions, welcome, especially if they're due with science and I can use them to like inspire myself to make videos or podcasts.
Okay, write them in our DMs on ASAP Science Instagram
or tweet, you know, however you feel like getting them.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, is yours good news or bad
news? Mine's good news.
Okay, then end with yours.
Okay, I'll go first. Yours bad news?
No, it's not bad just news. Not very simple news.
Okay.
It's about, you said earlier that when you're sleep deprived, you crave weed and marijuana. Is that true?
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Okay, well, this is why when you're sleep deprived, your eyes get red and irritated and itchy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I was like, you should add this to your sleep video you're working on.
Oh, interesting.
So they definitely were able to tell that when you're sleep deprived, you do get red eyes. But like with lots of science, they're like, we don't know why. So guess what we did? Made a bunch of mice not sleep. Okay. Tortured mice in the name of science. If you've been listening for long enough, you know, mice get tortured in science. So...
Do you think one day we're not going to do that anymore?
No. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that so intensely, but no.
But more and more we're doing less of that on other animals. You know, like they used to do a lot of like makeup testing on animals, and there's a lot of like people who try to like stop that from happening now.
Yeah, but that's makeup. This is science. People justify it morally.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Makeup.
And I know not all the mice are being tortured. Like sometimes they're just being tested cognitively or.
Yeah,
like,
some of the mice have to just.
Some of them have great lives.
Like,
okay.
Literally do fetish studies where they just have sex. Like that's fun.
But yes, lots of them are put through intense situations.
These ones were sleep deprived. So. Short-term sleep deprivation, what it does is it like increases the amount of damaging compounds called reactive oxygen species in your eye. And then what it does is reduce the amount of antioxidants, which everyone loves to talk about. But
just
in this
the
case,
lack of sleep in general.
The lack of sleep reduces the amount of antioxidants and these protective molecules in your eyes. And that actually can lead to the irritation, the dryness, and the redness. Huh. And then long-term sleep deprivation thins the corneal surface of the eye, leading to more constant red eyes. So there's just in the tears, essentially in your eyes, there are molecules, and even just short-term sleep changes the chemistry of the tears that lead to the redness.
Interesting. I kind of would have thought that like maybe another reason was just like your eyes are closed less. Like your eyes are irritated because if you're not sleeping, they're open more.
Yeah, but this is like a lot of people are actually lying with their eyes closed, not sleeping.
What? They're what? Lying?
Like this is sleep deprivation. Like you can be sleep deprived.
Oh, so your eyes could be closed.
And,
yeah.
You could be lying. That's the worst type of sleep deprivation when you're sitting there. I hate that.
You know, my sleep problems, as much as I hate them, I'm lucky. Like, I can fall asleep. It seems
Mitch,
to be...
You fall asleep in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, but that's
it's
usually
insane.
A sign of sleep deprivation.
Well, I don't know
like
if you're
literally,
asleep,
that's what they
but
say,
your
like,
breathing goes...
No, I know. I fall asleep in minutes. And I'm saying that's the best part about it. My sleep problems are all, like, devious and hidden because I have, like, sleep apnea. So I'll never know unless you tell me.
Wait, what? But you sleep a lot. But you mean you're not getting good sleep?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I'm sleeping, but I'm waking up tired all the time.
That's the long COVID, hun. Kidding.
Oh, stop.
No, it's been way before this COVID even hit.
See, this study came out 2 days ago. Study reveals less sleep increases next day alcohol and cannabis cravings.
That is... It's all a slippery slope.
It doesn't seem that surprising because I would say, like, when I'm sleep... underslept, I probably have more food cravings. I probably have more, like, I think they've shown in the past
we've talked
like,
about this before.
Different kind of like devious behaviors, yeah. And stuff, or like caving into like not doing the good habits in your life is a lot easier.
Your willpower, I mean, that's a pretty vague term, but we've done a lot of videos about alcohol, which leads to lack of sleep and how the next day you just don't have the sheer will to live. And no, honestly, you like make bad choices about food and things because you truly can't even, your body isn't functioning in a way to be like, let's make dinner or let's like do something about
true.
It. So that probably makes, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like I felt like that this weekend.
Both those things probably also give you red eyes, alcohol and weed.
So I did post a photo of you after you took a hit of the vape pen and everyone was like, he's stoned.
What?
It's when like did you, post a photo it's of like you at the Chinese restaurant. You look super cute, but I was like,
I did not vape then. Like before the restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, like did. You mean like hours before?
Yeah, I'm just saying everyone was like, "Hey, stop!"
Oh no, you have to get my consent to post things on social media.
I just thought it was a really cute photo, but then when people started saying that, I looked at it. I was like, "Damn, that's some red eyes."
Did you take it down? Oh my
it's
god,
it's gone. It's
mortifying.
It's poof, disappeared. 24 hours.
Judging me without me even knowing.
It wasn't judge. It was like kill.
Okay, finally some good news from me. Are you ready?
Yes.
And it's good climate change news.
Whoa,
sort of.
That's the type we...
Yeah.
Oh, sort of.
No, it is. It's positive. Okay. So between 2003 and 2018, diet-related greenhouse gas emissions from U.S. have fallen 35%.
Let's go. From the U.S.?
From the U.S.
Let's go.
Might be, you know, a similar trend around the world. And that's primarily related to a decline in beef consumption.
Nice.
So overall, like this is the not so good part, is that overall... greenhouse gas emissions are up because like populations are up. But when it comes to diet, the per capita per person is actually less.
Okay, cool.
And we're seeing like decrease in beef consumption, which accounted for half of the change, but also a shift away from all animal-based foods, including dairy, eggs, chicken, and pork. So people are consuming less of that now than they were like a decade and a half
that's
ago.
So anecdotally real in my life. That's cool.
Yeah, and the nice thing is because they were worried like, well, could there be a nutrient deficiency.
All of a sudden, everyone has red eyes.
Which they found that there wasn't. Like, people are equally as healthy and getting enough calories, because that's a hard concern when people remove something from their diet that they're not replacing it properly.
True. But beef.
And they found that Black women had the smallest dietary footprint by far, which was 20% below the national average.
Wow.
And on the opposite end, men had an emission footprint that was on average 10% larger than women's, even after accounting for their greater caloric intake.
Wow.
Men between 35 to 49 had the highest. And so they were like, this is a good group to target with information and education around changing dietary habits.
The 35 to 49 year olds, it's when all the guys want to become zaddies. And all of a sudden they're bulking.
I need my steak. I'm getting out of my twink stage. Now I'm coming to twunk into hunk. And it is good news. Obviously, it's positive. The bad caveat is that it's not enough to pull the U.S. back on track to meet its climate targets. Like, you know how all these countries have targets and none of them are going to hit them. Yeah. So it's not enough. There's a lot more that's needed. But that is still at least a positive trend towards people changing their dietary habits, whether intentionally or just because there's more options that are
It's also impactful. Super cool because it shows that, like, obviously the reason for the climate crisis is companies and evil corporations. People's actual actions are making a difference is really cool too.
Yeah, you know, my take, it goes both ways. Like, I do fully agree that, like, companies and corporations are the biggest polluters, are the biggest contributors, and push responsibility to consumers all the time. But my belief is, like, you have to flip it on its head, because why would the companies change if consumers don't care? You know, like, if we as individuals don't try to make minor changes, not only can we do it from, like, our little pocketbooks by buying certain things if you can afford it, but also by actually speaking out and, like, talking about the things you care about and holding companies accountable for the damage they're doing to our planet.
And beef is so easy to not eat. Like, even as a vegetarian who travels and still eats meat when I'm traveling, like, there's always chicken option. Like, it's just beef has never been something that I've thought about even needing or wanting. And it feels like the easiest thing to get rid of. And it's the highest greenhouse. Like, and that's clearly what they're talking about.
I guess it's like, when you don't think about it, you don't think about it. I bet most people naturally are eating less beef than chicken, because chicken feels probably more affordable. I actually don't know. Like, I feel like ground beef is pretty affordable to people.
Maybe. Yeah, that's
but
true.
But chicken's affordable compared, I think. Like, and it's like a dense, high protein, you can lean chicken. I feel like that seems like healthy.
Chicken. Yeah.
But I think when you're like, before I was vegetarian, I just didn't really think about what meats I was eating. It was just food, you know, like food, in the same way that when I'm eating fruits and vegetables now, I'm not like thinking about every single one individually, even though I'm sure I'm eating more bananas than I am like apricots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A dried apricot? No thanks, hon. I'll flick that right back in your face.
Actually, I can't decide if I like them or not. I haven't had enough apricots.
I really grew up on those. I remember just like tearing into it, being like, oh, I thought this was a fuzzy peach. This is not.
But that's dried, right? Isn't an apricot just like,
I know. I've only
like
ever had
peach?
Dried ones. I mean, maybe I've had
a real one. Oh, wait. What's the other
one?
Thing other than a nectarine is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I love those. That's an August. And nectarines. Oh my God. In August when you bite into a peach and then like juices all
that's
over
so
your
real. It's such a time
it's
of year.
So hot.
You're like, oh, the peaches are in season.
Yeah, seriously. Like, peach pie, peach pie. I'm going to make a peach pie. Oh, it's such a nice part. And also corn. Although, why? I hate corn. I don't hate corn, but it's like...
You're right. Corn isn't everything. So you're like, do we need it?
Yeah.
But
I know.
It does taste really good when you eat it off the cob and it's fresh in season.
And there's butter
and
salt.
And pepper.
It's kind of just like a weird backwards way of pretending you're eating like a vegetable in order to just like drink butter and salt.
Yeah. I mean, there's still like fiber and stuff in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like it's like a chip.
Whenever I'm like, this is the most tasty thing ever. I'm like, oh yeah.
That reminds me of lobster when you're like, we're just like, it is yummy, but like we are just dipping it in butter.
Yeah. Lobster is just an avenue for butter. And also now that I think about it, I'm like, when I eat a cob of corn, I'm essentially just having Cineplex popcorn.
True.
It's just
probably
butter.
Even worse.
It's just like
every
more
single
butter.
One little kernel is dipped in butter itself. Wow.
Wow.
Never thought of that before.
Wow, my parents gave me Cineplex popcorn.
No, but the corn has more nutrients than the popcorn, I think, and more fiber.
Yeah, I can only hope. Like, when I'm eating Cineplex popcorn, I'm always like, actually, I was having popcorn when I was watching The Northman, and I was kind of like, huh, this could be worse.
I love it. It's so good. And I think I ate 3/4 of the bag, and you maybe only had a quarter.
Well, I was worried every time I reached over that you were getting mad that I was taking your popcorn.
No, I got big ones so we could share.
Oh, cute. Okay, let's get into culture.
Yeah, okay, see you in a minute.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Consciousness.
I love how we start every section like trying to think of a way to emphasize that word or feeling. When like you think of consciousness, what do you think of?
I think of like my eyeballs and like what I'm perceiving and how like it's... I think about my eyeballs and what I'm looking at. And I'm like, what the heck? And what I'm listening to and being like... This is my life. This is my life.
Something goes on in your brain. This is my life. This is my life.
Does that mean I'm sick? What do you think of?
There's just all the time.
Wait, what? That's
what
you think of consciousness?
No, what I think of consciousness. Oh, I thought you meant like, what am I thinking of?
What do you think of consciousness?
To me, consciousness is just like the ability to think. Like,
but wait, now I want to know what you mean by your brain's going.
There's just always something running on, you know, it's just too many thoughts. That's why like meditation is really good for me, even though I don't do it like ever. Because it's an ability to be like, oh, actually just like calm down and stop those thoughts. Like there's all these little scripts that are always running in my mind or like anxieties that pop up that I'm just like thinking about, even though I'm not consciously always thinking about them. Like they're kind of. They are conscious, but I'm not thinking about them.
Subconscious.
I don't know. I feel like it's some in between of like, if I want to understand what they are, I can consciously think of them. But I realize they are just always running.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway.
That's what's so cool. All of our brains and our consciousness is also different and just absolutely
foiled. I feel like at the end of this pod, we should decide, is consciousness a good thing?
Oh my God.
Right?
I think I know my answer, but that's why I see the end of the pod is when we say it, because we might have changed it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start with like a very advanced part of this concept, but it's called the teletransportation paradox.
Okay.
So we'll use you. The example is Eva 1 and Eva 2. We're going to use Mitch 1 and Mitch 2.
Oh. Who's so Mitch 2? That's what I call anyone who has the name Mitch, by the way. Like, I grew up most of my life without any Mitches in my life, and I felt really special. And suddenly, as an adult,
there's a lot of Mitches.
I know, and I'm like, ew.
And I'm
Mitch
like,
number two,
ew.
Mitch number three, Mitch number four.
And I'm like, ew. There's not that many Gregs, honestly.
Yes, okay. There are. There's a. You want to. You acting like there's more Mitches than Gregs?
I'm sorry, but there actually is. Okay, we're moving on.
In the world?
Mitch.
You're absolutely
maybe
out
not
of
in the world, but in our general vicinity, there's way more
That's
Mitches.
That's true. But there is no possible way you can think that there's no not more Gregs.
You need to stop yelling about this. I'm just saying it's weird. In my life, I've always been like, this is a common name, but I never meet a Greg. Okay. So Mitch 1 versus Mitch 2. Teletransportation paradox. Let's stay on topic.
Okay.
So you, an exact replica of you. All the 86 billion neurons, all the cells of you within an instant is now teleported to Mars. So there is now you, Mitch 1, sitting here, and there's now Mitch 2 on Mars.
Absolutely suffocating their brains out.
Or, okay, fine. In
there's like a colony India. On Mars. Okay, just
whatever.
Somewhere else.
Like somewhere else, but like
Mars. In this instant. But is that one like, I've lived here my whole life, or is that one like,
no,
where am I?
Exactly. So what is the personal identity? Do you think they're the same person, or what is your opinion on that? Like another Mitch, but you aren't teleported. It's just
I'm still here. Every single, I know there's another one there.
The exact replica. What is your thoughts on that?
If
with
it's
consciousness, it, like, is that
it's
you?
Me, I think in the first moments it is me, but then I think as soon as that other Mitch 2 starts having any experiences, which happens almost instantaneously, they are no longer me. But when the duplication's happening, it's like, well, yeah, there's nothing different about us. So we would think about everything the same way. Every way they'll react in life in those first moments is me reacting. But then I would feel like over time, if they then spent a month in India, we suddenly have so many different experiences, different perspectives, different people around us, that then that's I'm cool. Like, that's not me anymore.
So that's like a thought experiment about consciousness, because it's saying that although the physicality is the same, the psychology of it is different. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like our consciousness is shaped by so much more than our neurons and the way our hormones bodies work.
Yeah, it's not just who you are.
Well, that's what the thing. It's like a paradox. So some people have different opinions. A lot of people say that, though. They say it is the same person, but so the physical aspects of them are the same, but the psychological aspects have now changed. For example, that person now has to come to terms with the fact that they're like on Mars or like in India. And then immediately the stimuli is different and they experience different memories and therefore become quote unquote different people, but they're the same person.
Right.
So it's kind of like, okay, that's just like a good thought experiment of consciousness. Cause it's like, wait, what does it mean to be me? Because when it comes down to it, the adult brain has 86 billion neurons and 1,000-fold more connections. So if you counted one connection every second, it would take you 3 million years to finish counting the connections in our
brain. In your brain. 3 million years.
Million years. So it's like, it's obviously complicated.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, that's true. And, but then it begs the question, like, does every animal have consciousness? Because so many have many connections in their brains too. Some animals have bigger brains than humans that probably have more connections.
Yeah.
Right. So like what is the point at which we classify consciousness? And it's also interesting because obviously forever humans have thought we are sort of these superior beings to all other creatures on this planet.
Birds.
And they constantly are finding reasons to be like, wait, maybe that creature has forms of consciousness we never recognized before and now are able to see that they can remember things and come back to things and recall things and all these ways that we like sometimes define consciousness, like the ability to be self-aware, I guess.
Yeah. So the definition of being alive is that you can reproduce, you have a metabolism, there's growth involved, self-repair, development, and homeostatic self-regulation. So that's like alive. But there are a lot of arguments about things that are alive that maybe aren't conscious.
Yeah.
And then there's also weird arguments about like what's alive, because like viruses like can't reproduce without your body. It's like, are they alive? But consciousness, from what I read, is more about awareness versus wakefulness.
Okay. It's more about just arousal. Being aware. Or wait, it's not just about like being able to see things and being awake.
Okay, so this is like a really interesting way to think about it. Like when you're in a coma, you have low wakefulness. So wakefulness, a better word for it is like arousal. Like literally, like just think of like arousal, like neurological arousal or whatever. When you're in a coma, you have low consciousness and low wakefulness, low arousal.
Yeah.
But you could experience a seizure and have a lot of arousal and wakefulness, but no consciousness.
Okay.
Or for example, you could be in REM sleep and have a lot of consciousness with less wakefulness, even less, they say, than someone who's like really drowsy.
Even less wakefulness.
Sorry.
Or consciousness.
Consciousness. Some people, like, when you're really more drowsy, you can be less conscious than when you're in REM sleep.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Because when you have dreams, you feel very self-aware. Yeah. Like, they're very vivid dreams. Of course, some are blurs. But sometimes a dream feels so real that you're like, I was conscious. Like, I was actively thinking
more
about
conscious than maybe if you're on, like a sedative drug or even just so sleep-deprived that you're now walking around the world less conscious than you are when you're sleeping but not awake.
Right. Yeah. No, that's an interesting way to think about,
which is also different freaking weird.
Yeah.
And actually that makes me scared.
Well, like, and that consciousness, I guess it's like this thing that we identify with so deeply, like who I am is my consciousness, even more than my body, I think. Like, people kind of believe that there's like a soul that's inside you, like that is your consciousness. And when you realize, you know, we talk about subconscious things that your body does, you don't know where your level, like your organs are, you don't know how your blood pumps, but these things are still you, but they're not your consciousness. And it's weird how we like identify so strongly with our consciousness,
yeah,
more than almost every other part of our body.
Yeah, because it's
Like my brain, I'm like, that's me. But my, if I lost a toe, I wouldn't think like it would be me, but not in the same way.
No, what also freaks me out is that our brain is like in our skull in complete darkness. It's like our brain is like this gelatinous thing locked in our skull in complete silence and darkness.
Well, like, but it's surely like there's vibrations.
No, but there, I was reading that like literally the fluids and the way it's designed, it's like there's hardly any
that's
sound.
So freaky.
It's so there's good. Like there's hardly any vibration. So like, but it is what's making me see and hear and touch everything, but it's never touched anything. It's never seen anything. It's in complete dark. Like, it freaks me out. It freaks me out. Because also, okay, consciousness, they can actually see which parts of the brain are associated with consciousness by using EEGs on people who are in vegetative states where consciousness is absent, but wakefulness is still there.
Okay.
So when you're in a vegetative state, like, your consciousness is actually gone, but you're still awake. Like, you're still, it looks like your body's still working, whatever. Okay. And there's these parts of the brain that they think are specific to our consciousness. It's called like the thalamocortical system. It's like the cerebral cortex and the thalamus like linked. So when they use EEGs, which is like honestly better than fMRIs in the sense that they're looking at neuronal activity, not just like the blood flow in the brain. When people like become conscious again, these are the parts of the brain they thought were in control of consciousness. When vegetative people come back to consciousness, they start to fire again. So they're like, okay, there's this like
that change
specific part of the brain that is really linked to consciousness. And even that is freaky too, because again, it's like, yeah, you think that there's like a soul or this like thing that is like you're bigger than that.
I know. And that it is, in one perspective, your consciousness is just one of the tools that you're body or like your being uses to evaluate the world and understand the world. But it's how like your eyes are limited. Like we can only see certain like wavelengths of light because those are the only ones that are really relevant to us. And our consciousness can only really perceive and understand things in so many ways. Why it's like so impossible for our brains to even understand an expanding universe that's infinite. You know what I mean? Like, where everyone's like, what does it expand into? Like, what is four-dimensional space? Because we literally can't comprehend what those things are.
We're not stoned right now, but if we were, this would be a quintessential second-year philosophical stone conversation. You know what I mean? Like, it's so...
And it is interesting that it's
impossible
to not be intertwined with, like, sort of spirituality and the questions of the meaning of life, I think. Consciousness.
But it's so creepy when you're like, it's just my thalamus talking to my cortex. It's like, I want it to be more than that.
But maybe it is. Like, is there... I guess that's the big question. It's like, at what point in creatures does consciousness become...
Yeah.
And
so we've obviously evolved it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it makes so much sense. Like, we... That's why we're doing well, minus destroying our planet.
Right. Well, that's probably why because we've become so conscious, we're able to, like, manipulate the world around us to an extreme degree that obviously now has become so extreme. But, it reminds me of when it comes to sleep and REM sleep, like Homo sapiens or like when like lots of apes like sleep in trees or monkeys sleep in trees. So they actually don't have the same way of having REM sleep because your body needs to like lock itself out. Right.
Mm.
Otherwise you move and you act out dreams, you follow trees. So when like not humans, but when our sort of predecessors came out of the trees, that was like one of the big advantages. It's a risk to sleep on the ground, but there's advantages to how you can like start being more social. Your brain can go through REM sleep. It can actually spend its nighttime developing social interactions and thinking about things. And they think that that is part of the beginning of like, certain species leading to Homo sapiens like becoming so much more social and
because they're literally able to sleep on the goddamn ground
and they get REM sleep so they can have like full dreams. And it's interesting, like some animals that can be both in the water and on land will not have dreams when they're in the water, but they will when they're on land.
This was saying that so seals and dolphins sleep with half their brain at a time, which is gorgeous design. Hello. Know who wishes they could? Elon Musk or whatever. All these people want to live forever. It's like, you know what these freaking like psycho people would do if they could only sleep?
They'd be a dolphin. Their brain?
You know what I mean? Like they would kill so many dolphins to study them to be able to never sleep. God. Anyways, so they sleep one half brain at a time, which I think is really cool. Koalas sleep for 22 hours a day, which is so cute. Those lazy little dumbass little lazy things. Jurassic at less than 4 hours of sleep. Newborn killer whales don't sleep at all. And then seals, like what you said, seals only have REM sleep when they're on land, which is so weird.
Because
do we only have REM sleep? I guess I wouldn't have REM sleep in water.
You wouldn't be sleeping.
It'd be water. Really hard to have REM sleep in water.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. It's dangerous.
Imagine we found out no human could have REM sleep on a cruise. Like if they're on a boat.
And that's
like,
why everyone goes crazy on cruises.
Yeah, that's why everyone for some sick reason goes on cruises because they're like literally losing their minds.
But yeah, that then begs the question, like, is our sleep and is the ability to have REM sleep linked to consciousness? What animals do we think have consciousness? Where is that line?
It's really hard. Like they used to use that mirror test, like the self mirror,
being able to see themselves,
mirror self recognition. And there's like truly fish. Well, you know, in some ways, fish are more evolved than dogs. They've been around longer, just like the birds.
So they can recognize themselves. Yeah,
there are fish that recognize themselves.
But sometimes they want to fight with themselves. You know that like famous fish.
That's probably how they know. There's I mean, not those types of fish. There's lots of like cephalopods and things that can recognize themselves. But then it's like Ernie can't.
But like, how do we know he can't?
They've done a bunch of studies on dogs.
Like, how do we know he's not just like, yeah, that's me. Like, what do you want from me?
Okay.
He's like, you were like, oh, look at you. And he's like, what is he supposed to do? Like, start fixing his hair.
I didn't read those studies. I read in a study that they've done, you know, they linked other studies, these many studies on dogs, and know that they don't pass the test.
Okay.
So you're right. I don't know how.
Okay, we're calling our son dumb.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think he has consciousness, even though this, like, the self-mirror test is dated just like and they don't.
A test, yeah. Because, I mean, like, have you seen that dog on TikTok that can, like, speak with buttons?
That is absolutely horrifying. And I feel like their name's Sharon. Whenever I see that dog, I'm like, that dog is a woman named Sharon who is having a full intellectual conversation about, like, reusable bags, and it freaks me out.
Actually, I'm really curious if there's like studies on that dog or others, and what someone who works in that field, like behavior of dogs, would think of that. Is it just fully learned, like memorized,
I think it's
like
that.
Like tricks? So like, you know, when we say sit, Ernie sits, that dog has just such a good memory. But at some point you have to say, if a dog can memorize 300 words, like that's not different than a 2-year-old. Is a 2-year-old not conscious?
Well, that's also interesting. So the babies up to 12 to 24 months also don't pass the mirror test. Mm. And like, obviously, I think they have consciousness. I'm not here to say that.
But I actually don't know if they do.
Well, that's okay. Also, they said that infants before 18 to 24 months of age lack awareness of themselves separate from others. They don't realize they're a separate entity from their family, their moms, or anyone even holding them.
Well, you want to know what's beautiful? That's and cool. Sometimes like a Buddhist way of thinking is like, they're not. We are all the same.
So we need
expressions
to remember,
of the universe although, coming alive, but we're all part of the same
that's
thing.
That's so true. I always think of babies and the really old people in society as the most evolved.
Yeah, it's like, have you seen baby geniuses? That's probably
they're
true.
So smart. No, but it is true. It's like that, like for sure an 4-month-old is being Zen and Buddha the whole time and very aware of its emotions. It's like, I want this.
I mean, obviously consciousness is fascinating. It's the only reason that we're able to do this podcast and like live life. But on the other hand, it does seem like one of those double-edged swords that causes a lot of people strife and problems. Yeah. And in a world where, at an age where we are so hyper-conscious almost, it feels like, and connected to people, like it obviously causes a lot of problems for a lot of people.
They said that like consciousness can also be defined as information and integration coming together. Okay. So it's like,
so something that's not conscious maybe is just getting information.
Yeah, like a really simple organism can react to information, but it's not integrating it in a complex way to have consciousness. Mm-hmm. Like you can almost picture like a little like microbe. It's just like so simple. It's like getting the information.
I guess what gets to me though is like someone made this definition of consciousness.
Yeah.
Right. So we're defining things by a definition we created. And so
that's why it's so interesting.
I think I tried to talk about this on the podcast before, where like if like there's Alan Watts, who's like a philosopher that I just like love listening to, who's no longer alive, but he talks about.
He's not?
Like, no.
I thought he was truly like doing a book tour like every month.
Oh, no. I think he was like a severe alcoholic or something. And
I think he died kind of young. Wait, are you serious? He was an alcoholic?
Yeah. But he would often talk about like indulgences and stuff. Like he was never pretending to be like a religious pious priest or something. You know what I mean?
Like, two things just blew my mind. One, he was an alcoholic. B, he's dead. Okay, continue.
I mean, if he was alive, he would be extremely old as well.
I was honestly like, I'm going to get him Alan Watts tickets for his birthday.
Oh my God, are you joking?
No. I'm not kidding. I got something.
Like, popular in the 70s. Like in the late 60s into the 70s is like his peak popularity. He was
for sure on acid.
He was. No. Like he wasn't all the time, but he was somebody who was an advocate for it.
Yeah.
He was like an early... like person nice willing to talk about those go things, which are like so taboo at the time, right?
Acid Watts.
Anyway, he does often talk about, and he's like only relaying teachings from Buddhism and Eastern like religions, but talks about,
is he white?
He is white. But you know,
so awkward.
I know, but you know, I think it's interesting, and I feel like he's always respectful. He was a white guy who was a Christian like priest or something here first, and then like kind of broke outside of that, traveled the world, went to Japan in particular, and like became really fascinated. Like there's lots of people who study world religions. I think that's interesting.
No, I love it. I we've always talked about how we need to do a podcast with Alan Watts, and this is just making me juicy.
Do you think that's problematic?
No, I think it's fascinating, and I've like I really want to talk more about it, and we can now, but in another episode, because I think it's really interesting that he's white.
Me too. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I literally pictured him not, even though I'm like, now I'm like, his name's Alan.
He's British, but he lived in America.
Yeah. No, I just think it's really, I think that that's interesting.
Anyway, I want to have a conversation. Some of those teachings were about like the consciousness of rocks, and like, yes, on many levels, we do not perceive rocks to be conscious, but like every physical thing, consciousness is just like vibration at its most basic form. We can define consciousness of vibration, and that like we, like a scientist would say, like we're just so much more complex than a rock, which is true, but it's kind of like when you clump organisms together and say these are wolves and these are dogs, but it's like where along the line do you exactly cut that, you know, on the evolutionary scale, like when did a wolf become a dog? And so I think on the evolutionary scale, where did the simplistic consciousness become like true consciousness?
Yeah. Well, that's probably, that's really hard to define for sure, especially because like we don't have historical like artifacts to know that. But it is interesting because it's like when you look at the science, which is why science and maybe like Alan Watts and so many things could probably like butt heads. They're trying so hard to define things because that's how science works. Like they want to have a definition. So for example, when they talk about information and integration, they use the example of like being in a coma when the information's all there, but they notice that those parts of your brain I talked about earlier aren't integrated anymore. They're not talking to each other. They're not firing. And that's when that's where they're seeing the consciousness like leave people. So it's sort of like, okay, even under anesthesia, that's exactly what they're doing. They're using pharmacology to stop your neurons from integrating, from talking to each other, from firing together, and then the consciousness is gone. So they're obviously like trying to figure out, at least from a human perspective, and I don't think this is ever going to be answered in our lifetime, maybe even ever, which is why it's so interesting. How can we just like create some parameters in order to understand and study more? But you're right. Like,
it's
like,
I get that.
And anyone could define it as anything. I want to
defend Mr. Allen and the whole Buddhist philosophy that actually so much of it tries to learn and be compatible with science.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Even when you hear someone like the Dalai Lama talk, he is always trying to be like, we need to, like, the teachings are one thing, but it's like, it's nice to hear like these philosophies like want to evolve themselves with like new information.
Did Alan Watts have dreads?
No.
Okay, good. Cool. Good to know. A little
goatee though.
Like so, oh my God. Okay, we need to do that episode. You've never seen a picture of him? I keep seeing the list, our list of episodes, and there's always one that's Alan Watts, and I'm like,
I just realized honestly I listen to Alan Watts podcast probably like 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh my God. Okay, we need to
do that episode. It's the thing I listen to the most.
Okay, we're going to do that episode and you're going to lead it because I'm like, I thought he was alive.
It's just so overwhelming to me because there's so much I feel like, you know, when you, like, if you listen to an hour long lecture and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so, it's a revelation. Yeah, everything he's saying is like blowing my mind. It's so interesting. And it's like, I can't, like, when he's done talking, I'm like, he's too smart. Like, I can't regurgitate it. It's so fascinating. You just have to listen. And then I do listen to a lot of them over because I'm like, I want it to stick with me, much like anytime you hear someone smart talk, you're like, just keep talking. I want to like learn how to say those things.
I feel that way about like New Yorker articles because I remember growing up.
You read them and then you're like, oh, it's amazing.
Well, I do try and explain them, but I just remember my dad like always would read the New Yorker and I was like young and dumb and he'd be like, oh, it was about this. And I'd be like, well, tell me. And then he'd be like, oh, you just have to read it. And yeah. I was like, it was so annoying. I was like, what do you, like, that's so annoying. You obviously it's didn't even read it. I was yeah. like, you lied. But it's like, no, they're so nuanced and they're so like.
And when you're in the midst of reading, you understand.
Yeah.
It. It's kind of like reading even a fictional book. You're like,
yeah.
You're reading it. You're so invested. You so understand the world. But once you stop, you're like, I can't regurgitate it because I forgot.
Maybe we'll bring Alan Watts' episode as like, literally the history of him, less than like what did he say, like it what can be a bit teach? Of
yeah, or, like,
what
are the main like takeaways teaching Eastern philosophy.
And sorry bud, but a rock ain't conscious. Okay
I'm gonna look that thing up because I've only heard him yeah. talk about that one time and it was really interesting. And I love how he talks about like scientists and the way that they perceive the world and like gives it credit where credit is due, but he has a really yeah. good way with words to
it
talk
is
about.
Good to tear down scientists
because sometimes. It kind of reminds me of this whole thing, like we only see the world through our consciousness. It is our, like, yes, we now develop tools to see some things that we can't see. But even when it comes to like you and me identify with our consciousness when there's so many, there's a whole subconscious part of our bodies yeah. and our minds and our brains and our eyes and all these things that like we never think about. We are happening constantly. Like if your body smells something, it could change like the balance of hormones or like excitatory neurons in your body. And you have no idea that that's happening.
Yeah.
And so that we just like so much focus on this consciousness is just like a natural bias because that's how we experience the world. But I think that it's interesting to stop and think about how there might be other ways to experience life as well beyond just like consciousness.
Like a rock.
Like you keep saying that and I keep because thinking you're saying the country. You're like Iraq?
Like Iraq.
Well, I don't know.
Oh my God, Iraq. A rock.
A rock is the way.
Iraq. But I say Iraq, and now I'm like, am I wrong?
I don't
Iraq know. Sounds very American. Look at Iraq, Iraq. We're not going down that path.
Anyway, I do think a rock is a form of consciousness.
Wow, okay. We definitely need to do the Alan Watts episode, because I do not think a rock
is. Do you think mushrooms?
Oh, my God. Okay, so there's mushrooms that, like, can feel out wood and then consume the wood and then...
Or tell me this. What do you see other creatures as conscious?
Yes.
And which ones do you think are personally, like, I'm not asking your scientific
all opinion. Of, like, them, except for, like, viruses and...
So time. Even, like, an ant, you think is conscious?
Oh, God. I'm trying to use my definition. You know,
this is obviously not, like an answer that anyone should take.
Like, I'm trying to use, like, the definition of, like, integration information. Well, what's so interesting about ants is, like, they work as, like, a colony. Mm-hmm. So, like, their information...
But that's so huge, and similar to humans.
Their information and their integration is more of, like, a sum of their whole parts.
Is that not the same for
it's
humans?
It's, like, the colony has consciousness, almost, which is kind of cool. With humans, no, I think it is different for humans. I think we're so complicated and so... I don't see the same type of formation of patterns in the way that, like, ants do. Like, at all. No, humans are so much... Like, if you looked at us the way that we look at ants, it'd be like, that's so weird. That's way messier.
Yeah, but just because it's different... I guess then, do we believe then only humans have consciousness?
No, I don't believe that. I believe that, like, when there's a certain amount... of like neuronal impulses, then the consciousness comes. I think birds are conscious.
You think it's a limit to like brain capacity? Like how
I think
many
so. Based on my
fired.
Understanding of all of the scientific research, if I'm just going to go with the science, that's my sort of takeaway. But also with all of the science, it's so new and confusing that no one would ever say that with confidence. Because that's why it's so interesting. Because it's kind of like you could literally argue this second year university forever.
Yeah, I think there's no denying that humans have a unique ability for something. Whether that we call that like consciousness and no one else has it or no other creatures or...
No, they do. Birds do.
Okay. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying some people might. Like there is a clear difference. I don't think it makes humans better or worse, but obviously we're the creatures that sit around thinking and would do nothing.
We
but
prepare
just
for the future, which I didn't realize is so rare. Like again, birds, the coolest thing ever. They obviously do that too. But most animals, even like the concept of being like summer body, gotta restrict my food. Like that's so like animals don't do that. Like if they have access to food, they're eating it. Like we have such a weird way
but that,
of
I mean,
living.
So I'm only just playing devil's advocate to like try and get to the bottom of this for myself. It's like
but we want
lots of humans if you give them as much food as they can want, they'll eat it all, just like many other creatures. Like, and a lot of like animals, maybe in, from your perspective, they're not choosing to change their behavior, but a lot of animals change their behavior through the course of a year on seasons, right?
But I think a lot
to us, that's like, that's instinct. But like,
but I don't think a lot of them show preparation and planning for the future and reminiscing of the past.
I mean, certainly squirrels are planting all those nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And trying to dig them up.
Yeah, but I think like from my understanding is like they, it is more instinctual in the sense that like they're not.
So how do you say what we're doing is not instinctual? That at some fundamental level, any of this preparation is rooted in some instinctual evolutionary
desire. It probably is. I just mean the sheer ability to like have memories and think of the past and think right. about the future, I think is a very human thing.
I think
so too. To like constantly be doing that. Mm-hmm. To literally have the only like pop culture self-help thing now to be like, don't think about the past or future. You like, I made a joke about that when I was doing comedy about how like, when I was reading that book, Metazoa, about how animals actually always live in the present, I'm like, truly that squirrel outside is like such a better Buddhist than you. Like there's so many animals that like are innately,
live in the moment.
Like we are a unique species that is constantly like groveling on the past. And, and I think that's a human trait that is like interesting because it's something that like affects us all. But I don't think it has to do with consciousness. I think squirrels are conscious. Like, okay. I think that's a separate thing.
Okay.
It's just the like sheer amount of time and ability to think about the future and past is to me very human, but it doesn't have anything to do with consciousness. But they're probably linked actually, because I bet some people would define that almost as consciousness and then be like, no one else has that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last thing about this consciousness thing I'll talk about is that there's the new theory, which is that our brains are constantly predicting everything and our senses are just there to back it up. So I just made a video about this. So this is sort of the cutting edge consciousness research where they're like realizing that our brains aren't just processing what our eyes and ears are hearing all the time. They're predicting it and our eyes or ears are solidifying what your brain already thought in reality, which sounds really crazy because it's like, what? But you can't ever feel that or control that. But through different studies, they're sort of getting there. And one interesting one, or simple ones, are like they flash like 150 images at you that you can't, like if someone's not said anything, they literally like, I didn't see anything. Then they'll sit before they'll say the word house. And then all of a sudden the person will be like, I saw five houses.
Mm.
Or they'll just say the word face and they'll be like, oh, I saw five faces. Mm. So it's like just that sort of, even that simple prompt can make your brain act different. Also there's, like the letter U, if it's in the word house, for example, like your brain can see it like really quickly house appears and you're like, oh, there was a U there.
Right.
And there's just like five random letters with the U. They'll be like, I didn't see any letters.
Because of the context of the word.
Yeah. And then there's also the illusions that we've like literally made a video where there's an image that's completely random. You can't see the image. Then when someone shows you what the image is of, all of a sudden you can't not see it. Like your brain is relying on context and knowledge of your past to create your whole conscious reality, which is like kind of going against what a lot of neuroscientists would have said even like 10 years ago.
Right.
It was just like, it's just processing everything. It's not actually doing more work predicting, which is kind of cool just for like people listening to be like, oh, that's the cutting edge. Like
consciousness, neuroscience. It's definitely really fascinating. I think like it's hard to believe, not believe, it's hard to believe it's exclusively that way. To me, like I can totally understand that my brain is constantly predicting things even before I've looked. So like, especially when you're in environments that you know well, like obviously your brain's predicting that this chair is in front of me or that this camera is there and all this kind of stuff.
And that you put the chair there and you put the camera there.
Yeah. And so everything's already playing on previous moments.
Yes.
So, you know, like as much as your brain's making those predictions, it's not like out of nothing. Like we're constantly in context of something. And so
it's more about the brain power. It's about the idea of how much effort your brain and your conscious self is putting into things.
But I thought you were saying like, instead of you seeing that chair, your brain is just predicting it's there. And then your sight is just confirming.
Yes. That. It's obviously, my point is it's not negating the fact that your sight isn't doing that. It's
actually seeing
it. It's like about the amount of like literal neuronal energy and brain power. And if you think about your consciousness as like, for example, like we're trying to do a podcast right now. So we're maybe thinking about what we're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were just sitting here, you might be spiraling about what's going to happen in Survivor tomorrow. you're creating a lot more images in your head. Yeah. You're doing a lot more work with your brain about Survivor tomorrow that like your eyes are just there to like rest the scene for you. Mm-hmm. Right. Like your consciousness just is like thinking, it's like your brain isn't even like doing that much work is the point. It's not doing as much work to see everything around you as we once thought.
I see.
Because it's just using it's called prediction error minimization. So it's just minimizing errors.
I mean, it is true. You're right. You can be looking at something and actually not seeing it.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not, it doesn't mean that you're not objectively seeing it and you're still, it's like your senses are there to root you in reality, even though your brain is actually doing a lot more work doing other things. It's already predicted everything that is around you. And now you're not thinking about it as
much. No, that's interesting.
Is it, they're just trying to figure out why we
don't have that internal image. Do you like you, when you imagine things, like, can you play a scene in your brain from something?
Oh god, it's like all I do, which is bad,
but something. There's lots of people who can't do that.
I know, but are there
literally are people who, and I've seen it, people talk about it on the internet themselves, whether that's on TikTok or just
I have, but I'm always like, you little liar.
No, someone on our street who I talked to one time was like, I made a TikTok about it like a few years ago, and she was like, I didn't realize I couldn't do it. I thought people just were being expressive in the way they described what they're seeing, but I didn't realize they actually see images in their eyes.
Are they not more Buddhist? If they're not thinking about,
I don't know, maybe,
you know what I mean, like so much of me is thinking about the past and the future visually and then being like,
yeah, like being taken out of the moment.
yeah and then not living in the moment.
I don't know, that is interesting, but it gives you a sense that even amongst humans, if we're defining that as part of consciousness, like there's different varieties of our abilities and the way we engage with the world, right?
Oh, I just want to, like, the last episode, or maybe, was it the last episode when we were like, I just want to have a female orgasm?
Yeah, exactly. Like, understand
like, I just
want to
go in someone else's body for,
or
like,
go, like,
5 minutes.
In Ernie's body. Like, I want to know what it feels like to be him.
So, would you rather go in another human or into Ernie?
Well, first, I think I'd rather a human.
Me too.
Because it's, like, more, I feel like Ernie would be, like, a trip.
It would absolutely fuck your whole life though.
Yeah.
To go into another human for 5 minutes, I think it would, that is like way more intense than going to space.
I saw a study that showed that people who do psychedelics are more likely to believe that other creatures have consciousness. Now that
makes total sense.
Yeah, because it like connects you to
every
it.
Time I do shrooms, I'm like, that fence is a lot. Actually, the
not the fence.
No, the most gorgeous thing about mushrooms and why I think everyone should do it, and like I don't think that's even that bad to say because truly every scientist is like saying that now, is that weirdly you become so connected to organic matter and not connected to synthetic matter. It's so weird, and it makes me be like, of course I'm like, that tree's conscious. I'm like, I'm obviously like. And another interesting thing about consciousness is that these modern scientists think all of our consciousness is a form of controlled perception. So almost a form of controlled hallucination. Sure. So everything that you are doing constantly is a hallucination that your brain is creating that is controlled by your senses. And they think psychedelics, all it's doing is allowing your perception to become uncontrolled for a little bit. Hmm. So you're losing the control of the perception. You're losing control of the actual hallucination that it is to be your self-consciousness. It's like a hallucination is not that different than your consciousness. Because they're all hallucinations. You've just lost control of your perception.
Yeah.
Now no longer is your vision rooting you in reality because that tree is breathing. But I definitely cannot begin to describe how I've felt this with other people who have been on shrooms, like a plastic water bottle. I'm like, that thing is dead.
So
that is not real. That grass is.
I want to talk about this quickly because I've thought about that before. And because walking around the streets and through parks, I always definitely feel, even like I don't do shrooms. Like I'm too scared to like really see what happens. Maybe one day. But I do feel more connected to nature just in general, obviously, right? Like seeing like skyscrapers doesn't give me the same feeling as like going into a forest and seeing plants and whatever, even in our backyard.
God,
like,
no.
But then I was one day, because it kind of like, there are lots of studies too that show like people who live in concrete jungles are less mentally like happy or more likely to suffer mental illness than people who live beside parks, like have access to green spaces. But I was thinking like all these things are things we made and we are nature. And like in the same way that like ants make like create ant hills and holes and all through the ground, and I know they're not like making things in the same way we are, but lots of creatures like make webs and make structures to house themselves, and this is just a form of like nature turning nature into something for its own use. And I think that has helped me, even just as myself walking around the city, be like, this is beautiful.
Yeah,
and
is cool.
It is nature. Like humans are just ants in like a different way, in a more complex way. And sometimes it makes me feel less gross about like walking down the street. Like,
No, that's
I still
that's
definitely connect more to nature, but I stopped to think about that the other day. And it reminded me of you saying like how you have a hard time connecting to synthetic things.
But what's so interesting about that is it's like, I'm not controlling. It feels like I'm not controlling it when I'm on mushrooms.
Right.
It's like,
it just happens.
Truly, I'm like that vine, like in our backyard, like the vine is moving, but the plastic chair is like stuck still.
That's interesting.
So it's like, wait a second. Like I thought, and it's only, I also haven't done like very much. I've always done like little amounts and like just gone on walks in nature and just, and truly felt happier for weeks after. But like, like I just, it's like crazy. Like, cause I'm like, I'm not on enough to lose full control, but like this sort of like field that I'm playing in, I've just like noticed it. And then my friends who I'm with are like, I'm noticing that too. It's just really interesting because I really think that like psychedelics are so interesting. Obviously we could do every other podcast about it, but the science coming in like every week on psychedelics is crazy.
Yeah, it's
like
so it's fascinating, so, because it was repressed for so long too.
So repressed, and just like just the way that it can treat depression is absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm.
The last thing I was just going to bring up was that I saw, I didn't read the paper on this, but I looked at the article, so I'm just going to not have that many details, but they've like looked at hundreds of hours of recordings from wild chimpanzees, and they hear hundreds of unique phrases that could resemble language, is what they said. So this also brings me back to the point of, I remember recently they were like, oh, octopuses are actually maybe conscious because they make decisions and they plan for the future and they can use tools.
And they've been on this planet way longer than mammals.
And I think like there's some also level of us discovering the abilities of other creatures more and more and realizing, maybe we aren't so special. Or maybe we're special in this way, but they're special in that way. And
octopus, so like, are a what great is example. Consciousness? I cannot eat octopus anymore.
But like, why should, never mind. We don't.
No, I'm just like, their consciousness is actually so evolved and fascinating. Mm-hmm. And they have been around on this planet for so long. So obviously same with birds. It's so interesting. It's like, we can't relate because we're actually like stunted. Like, it's just like a nice way to not like think of like humans as the best. That's like
totally.
One
and
great
so many
thing
creatures
birding.
Use like magnetism to like, under,
that's birds how birds
included,
like,
but
migrate.
So do dogs. Yeah. They think that dogs like, are able to. And lots of, and I think like sharks and stuff also use that to orient
like
themselves.
Imagine I could understand the magnetic pulses of this earth, but I can't.
Yeah.
I'm
you'd be like,
human.
We're smarter.
I'd be like that. I'd be like, we're smarter. We can understand the magnets. Even just anytime I get near a bird and I'm like, oh, can I see it? And it flies away. I'm like, okay, good job, bud.
Do you ever think that Ernie just looks at us and he's like, those poor humans, they can't do anything?
I think about that every time he looks at us watching TV.
Oh, fair.
I think he's like, you literal disgusting lumps on a log. If you wanted to go for a walk right now, I would go enjoy this gorgeous planet. But you're going to sit here and stare at that thing. Like, I always think about Ernie looking at us watch TV because it's insane. We're just like, hey, Ernie. And then we sit down silently and we just go, thing, and stare at this, like, box clearly synthetic, noise. Like, bad thing. Like, it's just like, it doesn't, I think an animal can pick up that is not good. And then we're all like, no, it's not good. Sitting on your ass and watching TV or my phone. Yeah. Like sometimes Ernie literally like we'll get ready for a walk and then we'll go on our phones and he'll go off and sit down.
He knows if he sees us on our phones, he goes and lays down.
Like he knows we're on that weird thing where that sucks all of our energy that we all know is bad.
Ew.
So yeah.
I hate phones so much.
I hate phones. Make sure you're listening on your phone right now. Thanks so much. Make sure you subscribe on your phone. Make sure you get 5 stars on your phone.
Yeah, and make sure you get notifications on your phone.
Yeah, make sure ding, 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 ding. Hit that bell. Hit that subscribe.
No, you have our full support if you're going to get rid of your phone and never listen to this again.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. Also, hope your consciousness is at peak. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.